Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
What's cream? Nobody? Okay, no cream.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Guys, we've made a great effort so far. Let's just keep it up.
That's right! We can't have anyone freak out there, okay? We've got to keep our composure. We've got too far. There's too much to lose. We've got to keep our composure.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
A lot of pressure. You got to rise above it. Mm-hmm. You got to harness in the good energy, block out the bad. Harness, energy, block, bad. Feel the flow, happy. Feel it. It's circular.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Hey, guys. Oh, big gulps, huh? All right. Well, see you later.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in our numero dos. If you missed the first hour, we solved the China crisis with the NBA.
That we did. Solved it. Boom, next.
Or pissed you off, depending on how you view things. I don't know. Didn't try to make anybody mad. Just sharing my opinion on it. You can have a differing opinion. That's
fine. Well, guess
what?
You're an idiot.
I am an idiot. I'm well aware of this. Dave Softimalo is going to join us at 2 o'clock. Get his thoughts on the Husky-Washington game. I wonder who he'll pick.
The Husky-Washington game? You mean the Husky-Oregon game?
Oh, the Husky-Duck game.
He probably thinks it's a Husky-Washington
game.
Yeah,
you're right.
I'll be curious.
Right.
I mean, we usually you honk it up on rivalry week. I'm genuinely curious how he's feeling. I don't know how Husky fan is feeling going into this game. I'm sure there's a base level of confidence, but...
Yeah, they're at home. I mean, you got to have
home,
some.
Right?
You're a dog. You're coming in as a three-point underdog.
You got a win last weekend.
Yeah, a nice win.
But I wonder if you're feeling maybe as good as you did last year, for example.
Touche.
Or obviously the year before that, you faced Braxton Burmeister, and I'm sure they were very confident going into that game.
Yep, so he'll join us at 2 o'clock. I've got to get a shout out to somebody in sports that deserves it coming up in about 12 minutes.
Oh, okay.
I also have a thing about sports rivalries that nobody's going to like.
Okay.
I don't even know if anybody's going to text in and go, you know what?
I agree with that.
That's right.
Okay.
So I'll give you more details coming up in 12 minutes, but we're bumping up NFL True or False because we have Joe Girardi hopping on the horn at 1:30.
The Joe Girardi.
We cannot ask him managerial questions.
No, they gave us talking points. We're not allowed to ask that question.
Swag said that AJ Pierzynski was in his ear for an entire broadcast going, so where are you going to coach? Where are you going to coach?
Whole game. They broadcast the Astros and Rays series.
Yeah, one of the divisional series.
I must have missed that one.
That was the one they were on. And whole series, Pierzynski was blabbering in his ear. And
Joe was not comfortable in that situation.
So we won't ask particular questions about Joe Girardi's destination. I do want to know what team is maybe in the quickest, hey, we can turn this around situation that's maybe looking for a coach. Is that the same thing, Swag? That's different.
Sure.
No.
Good loophole. I like that.
What if he's like, you know, they're all looking good right now.
Yeah. I was going to ask him if he wanted to punch AJ Pierzynski in the face during any of those broadcasts.
Oh, I'd take Joe Girardi
also,
in that fight for
fun
sure.
Fun fact, last time.
Let's avoid that as well.
What if we get a great quote, though? He's like,
We'd like to have him back.
That's true.
That's the thing.
Fun fact, the last time the Yankees and Astros played in the ALCS, which was 2 years ago, Joe Girardi was the manager of the Yankees.
I remember that,
which is the same series that's going on right now.
That went to Game 7, didn't it?
I believe so.
And they shut him out, I think, in Game 7.
In Game 7. And that's why everybody was like, why are you firing Joe Girardi? He just went to Game 7 of the ALCS and he has a World Series ring.
It's the Yankees, man. Yeah. All right. So we're bumping up now. NFL, true or false? I don't know what our results were last week, so Dirt will get to those. And then Swag, you will tell us what's true or what's false.
You guys mopped the floor with me last week. Couple of 4-0 weeks for you guys. You apparently agreed on everything. I went one for four.
One for three.
Here they were. San Francisco will have a 3-game lead over the Rams. That was obviously true because they beat the Rams. I said false. Next one, there will be two or more players to amass over 200 yards in week 6. We all said false. There was none. Do you know who came the closest?
Diggs?
Stephon Diggs at 167.
He had a bunch of bombs in that game.
He was the closest. Mahomes, Wilson, Darnold, Mariota are the only quarterbacks to not throw interceptions this year. It was at least two of those guys will throw a pick. Both of you said true. I said false. Three of them did.
Yeah.
Mahomes threw a pick, Darnold threw a pick, and Mariota threw two picks.
Yep.
So Wilson the only one left without an interception. And then neither the Redskins or the Dolphins will score 30 points. I don't know why I said that, but I said false, and neither of them did. You guys said true. My extra note was Miami gets to 30. They only got to 16.
Real quick, Swag, before we get to it, it is an amazing accomplishment that Russell Wilson has played 6 NFL games and hasn't thrown a pick.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
pretty crazy.
That is insane.
All right. We start with Sprager's 49ers and a defense that held Rams quarterback Jared Goff to just 78 passing yards Sunday in their 20-7 victory, remaining undefeated. True or false, the 49ers will hold Case Keenum to under 100 yards passing this Sunday when they face Washington.
It's
Keenum
impossible.
Only had like a buck 56 against the Dolphins.
The Niners defense is lights out. To hold a quarterback in 2019 in the NFL below 100 yards back-to-back weeks.
Well, there's also the possibility they knock him out of the game early, too.
That's true.
You got to think about this in this instance.
I will say, I'm going to play the odds here, though, and say that it's false.
I'm actually also going to say this is false, unfortunately. I'd love to watch Case Keenum throw for 100 yards. I think he's going to throw for like a buck 12. I think Washington will be able to move the ball a little better. The Niners gave everything they've had the last 2 weeks. They're going to be a little tired traveling to the East Coast. I think Keenum will move the ball slightly better than Jared Goff.
I think this is true because I don't think Keenum's going to survive.
Bosa is going to rip him in half in the first quarter.
I don't know if he gets to the second
half. You get Bosa grabbing the legs, and then you get Buckner that takes the top off. He just gets cut in half on the football. Oh, my God!
They killed him!
Case Keenum's in half!
I murdered a man!
Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson led all NFL players in rushing yards in Week 6 with a buck 52 against the Bengals Sunday. True or false, Russell Wilson will have more rushing yards than Jackson when the Seahawks host the Ravens this Sunday.
Swag, this is your best question of the year.
I'm going to say that this is false. I think the Ravens have, again, learned that Lamar Jackson is limited as a thrower. Not saying he's bad, but his biggest strength is running the football. I mean, he ran the ball like a running back last week. The only way that this is true in my mind is if he gets hurt in this game. Wilson will scramble around, but he throws the ball downfield far more often than Lamar Jackson does. Jackson will have more rushing yards. I say this is false.
I actually really like this game for Seattle matchup-wise. I think they're going to check the tape versus Cincy. You know what Cincinnati didn't do aside from not win? They didn't have anybody spying the quarterback.
Right.
You've got a very capable linebacking core that can do that. I think Seattle will. I think Russell Wilson will finish with more rushing yards then Lamar Jackson when they host him this Sunday. This is true.
Yeah, I think this is true because Pete Carroll will put a defensive game plan together to force Lamar to beat them with his arm and staying in the pocket.
He's got
the defensive athletes to do that. Next, Jameis Winston threw 5 interceptions on Sunday. That brings his season total to 10. That's an average of 1.7 per game. True or false, Winston will throw at least 2 picks this Sunday against the Titans.
I know where Dirt's going to go, so I'll let him go next.
You know where I'm at.
This is going to be false. I do think he's going to throw 1. I do not think he'll follow up his 5-pick game with a 2-pick game or worse. That's what he does. He's a back-and-forth guy. I think he throws 1, not 2.
Say what you want about the Titans. They're actually decent defensively, so I'll give them the fend. Oh, wow.
1-0 Astros.
Is that a leadoff home run?
I think there's 1 out.
1 out, okay. Already 1-0 Houston. Hey, Severino, welcome to the ALCS. I mean, you know where I'm going on this.
Houston Nationals, by the way, is a much better World Series matchup. Pitching?
Oh, yeah.
The pitching matchups, those are going to be really good.
I think either way, you're good. I'm glad the Nationals are going. It's not the Cardinals. No, but I mean, come on.
Yeah, but like, at least the Nationals have like a, you know.
I mean, those rotations,
a good rotation.
Games, especially if you get an early series done and you can line up the rotations for both. I like how we're now mixing in baseball talk. Yeah, I mean, this is true. He's going to throw 8 of them. It's Jameis Winston. Come on.
This is true.
He's going to throw 8 of them. Put it on the record. Dirt says
eight.
Throwing 8.
Oh, 8.
I don't know that he'll throw 8, but I think
what
he's good for 2.
What a bummer we miss out on another. We could miss out on a Mario and a Winston game. I didn't know they played Tennessee this weekend.
Oh, touche.
Finally, the Cowboys and Rams are both on 3-game losing streaks after starting the season 3-0. True or false, both Dallas and L.A. will end their losing streaks this Sunday facing the Eagles and Falcons, respectively.
Oh, come on. This is
L.A. is going to win because the Falcons are awful.
L.A. will win.
They are going to win that
Peterson's
game.
Peterson's guaranteeing a Philly win. It's in Dallas, right?
Yes, it's in Dallas.
Now, how
I believe it's the Sunday night game
yes,
as well.
Yes, it is. Ooh. I was actually pretty jacked about that when
Love
I saw
that.
It.
How concerned? I mean, this is like another side note of this. How concerned are Eagles fans by last week?
They should be very concerned.
I think they got
really
torched
by
that
defense.
Yeah.
Torched.
Also, where do you put either one of these teams that they fall to 3-4?
I mean, that's...
Yeah, but you're only one game out of the division lead.
Yeah. They're in the same...
Yeah, you're right. That division sucks. I'm going to say this is false. I'm going to buy into the Doug Peterson mojo, even though I bought in last week and it bit me in the face. And I think the Falcons for sure are going to lose to the Rams. And at what point is Arthur Blank not going to fire Dan Quinn? He's going to go through a season being a one-win team with that talent?
I know. Especially, I mean, his forte is supposed to be defense, too.
It's pitiful.
I mean, dear Lord.
This is true.
Yeah, I'm gonna go
true.
No, false. I'm sorry. I said the Eagles will beat Dallas. L.A. will beat Atlanta.
I'm gonna go that this is true. Now, the Cowboys just eliminated me from a survivor pool, so I should hold a grudge against them. But I'm not. I don't know why. I'm not going to.
I can see them winning.
I got issues with Philly right now, too. It's not like I act like they're a perfect football team. I did want to get to the guarantee a little bit later on in the show. I'll say this is true, though. I'll say Dallas and L.A. get
away. I think this is true.
Mighty ballsy. The Cowboy fan is going in. Here we go.
This is where the Cowboys can rally for a week. Now, I don't know that they'll go on another three-game winning streak, although I haven't seen their schedule. I think they got another gimme in there somewhere. But no, they'll... Nobody listens to the noise more than Cowboys do and then turns around and is able to use it for motivation. They'll have something for Peterson and the Eagles.
I've got a bonus true or false for just one person.
Okay, quickly.
Jason Swigart, true or false? Jerry Jones in his weekly radio interview says...
Wait, hold on.
Jason Garrett would be a hot commodity on the open market.
Oh, that is true, Bob.
We have an issue, by the way.
What do you mean?
We have a minor Oracle of Oswego moment.
What?
True or false, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers play this week.
Oh. He had a look over moment. He didn't see the number difference.
They do not play this weekend.
They have a bye?
They have a bye this weekend.
That's right, because they were the London game.
They were the London game. Week 7 of the NFL season.
NFL usually always rewards one London team.
Are at home against the Chargers this week.
I looking at the wrong week of the schedule?
But if you fast forward the next week, the Buccaneers are at the Titans.
This is what happens. He gets it wrong, we get an automatic right.
Okay.
He's the one that makes this. That's fair.
That's fair.
True or false, Jason Garrett would be a hot commodity on the open market.
Oh, would be.
Yes.
That is false,
okay.
Bob.
Okay, all right. Write that one down, too. Bonus true or false.
By the way, I think that officially means that Jameis Winston threw 8 interceptions, so I get bonus points.
All right, coming up next, I got to give a shout out to this person, and I got to get to a controversial sports rivalry thing, and then Joe Girardi will join us at the bottom of the hour. Dave Softy Mahler at 2. All those things ahead next on The Fan. Joe Girardi's going to join the show in 13 minutes. We're having a fun edition, Dirt and Sprague, with you on this Tuesday. I hope some of our anti-China opinion people are still hanging with us today.
We're still here, man. We're still here.
I still love you. This is going to be a great opportunity for a lot of people to scream.
Oh, okay. I need my yell pillow.
Fake news.
Oh, okay. Fake news.
The New York Times. Have you heard of them?
It's a trusted institution.
Depending on who you ask. they wrote this story. America's biggest sports rivalries? Question mark. Okay. You might be surprised.
Oh.
So they dive in. This guy named Victor Mather. Apologies for not knowing much about Victor, but he's the author.
Big fan of Victor. I read Victor all the time.
He wrote, when the Eagles face the Cowboys on Sunday and the Patriots face the Jets on Monday, two fierce NFL rivalries will be renewed. But where do they rank among all the bitter rivalries in North American sports? Okay, so you see the angle they're going here.
It's a pretty broad angle, sure.
They talked to multiple professors. They collected data at norivalry.com, like N-O-W, no rivalry, know your rival.
Okay, I didn't know that was a website. Do I need to check out norivalry.com?
Most people don't know any of the polling websites.
Sure.
What's Wallet Hubs?
Why are we speaking to professors in this regard as well?
Well, just like, hey, what did you think of this rivalry situation in pro sports? And then they offer their ideas or thinking behind it. Anyways,
okay.
Let's not dive in too much into the article itself.
Too much into the minutia.
So they use some data that they get from this website that polls sports fans in America. The professors sought out hardcore fans of North American professional teams and college teams and asked them to allocate 100 points among their most hated rivals. A Minnesota fan might allocate 50 points to Wisconsin, 40 to Iowa, 10 to Michigan. Okay?
Following along.
The biggest rivalry in North American sports, according to the New York Times recent poll.
I'm already angry and you haven't even told me yet.
College football, Arizona and Arizona State are the biggest rivalry, according to this poll. Now, before you completely crap all over it and you hit a sound there, Swigard.
The territorial cup, that does it, huh?
These are your six biggest rivalries. Okay. Tell me what you think.
Okay.
Number one, Arizona, Arizona State.
No.
Nobody's agreeing to that. Not even people in Arizona.
No.
Giants, Dodgers, number two.
Look at us. Oh, let's go, baby. Okay. That's that what makes I'm talking sense. About.
Number three, Falcons, Saints.
Mm? Is that?
Who dat?
Can I give you a hot take? I always thought the Panthers and Falcons were bigger rivalries.
No, I think because the Saints and Falcons have been around longer.
They were actually rivals NFC in the West. Old NFC
yeah.
West.
Yeah.
Well, they both sucked for a long time in the NFC
West. Most of the NFC West sucked when the 49ers were owning it.
That was a tough division.
How was the NFC East when the Cowboys were winning, hmm?
You had the Bill Parcells-led Giants.
We don't have time for that, though. Number four. Toronto and Montreal.
And hockey?
Hockey,
and
sure.
soccer.
Oh.
Excuse me?
Wait, what? Wait.
How's that ahead of Timbers Sounders? If you're going to have a soccer rivalry up there.
You want hockey? I'll give you hockey. How about Flyers-Penguins?
Sure, that's
that
a great rivalry.
Yes, absolutely.
And then the last one, the top six in North American sports, Lakers-Celtics. You want to know the largest...
By the way, people are saying you misspelled no as N-O-W.
What are you talking about?
It's K-N-O-W, but is the website...
Well, I meant the K one. Sorry. I had a derm moment.
Go right over my head.
It went over everybody's head.
I totally missed that.
For the Tampa not playing this week.
Are you guys kidding me? Of everything I just said, that's the one sticking point. You know Sprague spelled no wrong. K-N-O-W.
Well, it brings up the old joke. You know what the N on the helmets for the Nebraska Cornhuskers
Knowledge, baby.
For.
That spells knowledge.
They also gave largest rivalry gap.
This is stupid.
Number one.
This is stupid.
Obviously, one team being far worse than the other one. Or a team caring about a team, but the other team not reciprocating, a la Oregon State right now, right? Duck fan doesn't concern themselves with Beavers. They concern themselves with Huskies.
Sure.
Beaver fans always going to concern themselves with the Ducks. Largest rivalry gap, Orlando and New York City and MLS.
What? Is that Orlando thinks New York's their rival?
I think so.
Okay.
Kings, Lakers, in the NBA. I agree with that one.
Yeah, no Laker. Yeah.
Boston College, Notre Dame. That's
I could see that.
One.
Boston College thinks it's a rivalry, not Notre Dame.
Coyotes and the Kings in the NHL.
What?
I didn't know that was a rivalry.
We hate the Kings.
This is a good one. Colts, Patriots.
Okay.
Colts, obviously, always considering themselves a rival of the Patriots. Patriots.
Beat the Pats, yeah.
Yeah. And then Diamondbacks, Dodgers.
That's cute, Diamondbacks. That's cute.
I didn't know anybody in Arizona cared about the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, they don't go to games.
Exactly. That's why they're going to be in Portland.
Sure.
What do we make? Arizona State? No, like,
this
really?
This is stupid.
Did you have four people from Arizona do this poll?
What's the criteria? What are they basing this on?
Basically off of ranking of fan bases of claiming the rival. Now, I think part of this is, I think you have other teams that have, like, if you ask an Oregon fan, for example, who's your biggest rival?
It would be Washington.
But I'm saying if you polled 100 Oregon fans, not all 100 are going to say Washington.
But a majority, you would say more than.
I would say
than,
a majority right? probably would say Washington, but you might get a lot of old-timer fans that still, you know, the Civil War and the history behind it, Oregon State, in-state, right? So there's not an easy one there. For Arizona and Arizona State, I mean, nobody really cares about them, right? I mean, their biggest rival is the in-state game. But this is dumb. This is what happens when you have nerds dive too far into sports and try and study things the way they want to study things. You come up with Arizona and Arizona State as the greatest rivalry in sports.
Actually, I have breaking news.
Oh, do we really?
Yeah. I just want to pass it along real quick.
Oh, okay.
Unless you want to give an opinion.
Sure.
The Rams just traded Marcus Peters to the Ravens.
Oh, okay.
So.
What'd they get in return?
In Dunze.
Oh.
That's a Ian Rappaport.
Oh. I just got an email from our boy Matt Shelby down at the lottery.
Oh.
Look at us. What's happening?
Wait. So,
our pet tender.
So I asked, there was a CNBC article that popped early this morning that said it's looking at Wednesday for the scoreboard app to go live.
Or
so,
you could have gone to 1080 The Fan's Brandon Sprague's Twitter account. I said Tuesday through Thursday.
You did.
Brandon Very clearly.
I'm trying to hone in. Yes.
Okay. Narrow it.
So Matt says lots falling in place. They had a platform. The platform went live Friday. They had a small beta test group.
Yep.
It was a bank holiday yesterday for Columbus Day, so the
Indigenous Peoples Day.
It is Indigenous People Day now.
Easy Swagger.
Seriously.
Come on.
Yeah.
Get up to date with your holidays.
Okay, whatever. There was a bank holiday.
Wow.
So
he doesn't care about the Indigenous
people. They are hoping for tomorrow.
He didn't say that for the record.
Hoping for tomorrow, and he should know more before the end of the day.
Yeah, it's coming. It's so, coming this week, baby.
Yes. Get it ready.
We're gambling! Can I just say on the rivalry thing?
How did that win number one in the rivalries?
Yeah, I mean, that's just stupid. I love, though, how triggered I bet Yankee and Red Sox fans got off of this, and I take enjoyment out of that. I love that they're not listed as one of the six best rivalries. Everybody's so sick and tired of that rivalry, unless you're a Red Sox or Yankee fan. I'm so glad that they were left off the list.
Toronto-Montreal.
That's just stupid. In hockey, yes, that is a great long-term rivalry in hockey.
It's one of the few I know, so I was teasing you guys.
Yes, in the NHL, that is an awesome rivalry. But in the MLS, really?
I, like, checked it over eight times. It says MLS, Toronto-Montreal. Okay.
Did they get their thing wrong
here? Real big fake news here from the Times. Let me give a quick shout-out. We have Joe Girardi coming up in 5 minutes. I know the segment's been everywhere. All over the place.
By the way, Severino's thrown 29 pitches in the first inning. He hasn't gotten out of it yet.
Still in the top.
They got two on, two out. Altuve with a home run. And
this bro Chacho's really struggling in the playoffs, though. Alvarez.
Well, he's a rookie.
Yeah, he's like 0 for a bunch of guys left on base.
He's hitting .230. Isn't that about average now?
They're also having issues with their cameras. It looks like there's like a recurring earthquake going on at Yankee Stadium.
Okay, we're now talking about television on the radio. Quick shout out to long distance runner Kipchoge. He ran a sub-2-hour marathon over the weekend. I don't know who saw this or who heard about it, but he did it in Vienna.
You retweeted it like 8,000 times. I saw it all over, man.
You can only retweet something once.
However,
don't put that out. So
the governing body of track and field.
Don't get me started on this.
What's wrong?
They're not counting it.
He had 36 different rabbits or pacemakers
to make sure everything is
helping him throughout.
Oh, what a fraud!
Throughout the marathon.
Can you pull that? I think that's a drop. Your voice went in a different pitch there. You were like, oh, what a fraud.
Wow, he didn't just go out and run on his own. What a wuss.
No, he set up an event.
I know, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get you angry.
You
feel
are.
Like this is a bear with
Before
you.
This is a bear.
Can I poke
it
the bear?
It becomes officially a world record in the first ever sub-2-hour marathon.
Which, by the way, he already owns the world record.
This is like the socialist record-breaking. Come on, do it on your own.
This is a pretty cool accomplishment.
No, I mean, it's pretty badass.
30 years ago, 20 years ago, nobody thought a human could ever run a marathon sub 2 hours. It was impossible.
So what was his pace? What was it like?
4:33 a mile.
So wild for 26 point whatever.
Yeah, I've shared this before.
26.2.
There's a thing that they've had now for a few years called the Kipchoge pace. What's your Kipchoge time? And it's basically how fast. Why are you guys laughing at
me? Somebody texted a dude drafted off of people in cars. No counties. No counties.
I hate you guys. I hate all of you. The Kipchoge time. How long can you run at his speed that he runs a marathon at?
A quarter of a mile.
So you would have to. Okay, so you think you could run at 13 and a half miles per hour for a quarter mile straight?
That's a 4.5 minute mile to go out and just.
A quarter mile.
I think
mile.
I could get a quarter mile.
Oh, I don't think I could.
Is that what's that one lap around the track?
About one, yeah. Yeah, a standard track, yeah.
At 13 miles per hour?
Now, I'm saying what I'm saying because I can't believe he did this, and that is an amazing feat to me. To even put myself at a half-mile pace at that speed, it seems ridiculous because a 4:33 is insane.
Running's for nerds.
Okay. Oh, I know where this is going now. It's the greatest human accomplishment athletically ever in human history.
Wow.
Prove me wrong. You can't. Even people who swim across the oceans, they get to float on their backs for a while.
I mean, it's the best accomplishment in exercising. I'll give you that.
It's the biggest athletic achievement in human history. Okay. Joe Girardi of Radio.com, MLB Insider. He joins us next. The Houston Astros have the bases loaded. We'll talk with former manager and now media member Joe Girardi next.
Hey, welcome back in. 1:31. Hope your Tuesdays are going well. We're having some fun here on the show. We're going to talk to Softy coming up at 2 o'clock. We're going to let him just get your earplugs ready. He's going to yell at you in about a half hour. So we'll do that coming up. Oregon, Washington week. Having some fun. Really excited, though, for our next guest. On the line is Radio.com Sports MLB Insider Joe Girardi. Insider calls are brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Joe, thanks so much for the time out here in Portland, man. We really appreciate it. I'll just start with the NLCS because that was the most fresh thing in my mind from last night. How surprised are you with the fact that the Nationals are just dominating the series the way that they have?
You know, to be honest, I'm not surprised because I think, you know, if you look at the Nationals, you know, after like May 19th or whatever, they were the best team in baseball. And they had so many injuries early on and they just, you know, were having a hard time putting a competitive lineup on the field. And then they got everyone back and they've taken off. And since that time, they've been 80-40, including the postseason. They're dominant. Their starting pitching has been dominant. Their bullpen improved when they got Hudson and they were able to move Doolittle back to the eighth. The growth of Rainey, you know, they're second in runs scored. They're one of the top starting pitching staffs in all of baseball. And you look at the Cardinals, and the Cardinals have a hard time scoring runs, just not in the series, but the whole year. So, you know, when you look at it, you can understand why it is the way it is.
Yeah. You know, Joe, from the athlete perspective, you know, the Nationals, so many years, they've been picked by a lot of pundits to win everything. They come up short. They've never won a series. From the athlete perspective, how big is that, and how different does it change things for you when you finally have that breakthrough moment in a big spot?
Oh, I think it changes a lot. I think it can be a rallying cry for your team. I think it gives you confidence. I mean, you think about the confidence Soto must have gained in that wild card game, getting that big hit off of Josh Hader. I mean, that was incredible. I mean, that was a game, heck, they almost didn't get out of the first round, the wild card game. And here they are, one game from the World Series. So I think Howie Kendrick has continued to obviously shine in this series, and there's so many players that have shined for them. But the thing is, they're a very experienced team. I know there's some young kids that are out there, like Soto and Robles, but you look around the diamond, this is a very experienced team that doesn't panic. It is extremely talented.
Yeah, a lot of guys who've been there before, including their starting pitchers. A guy like Anibal Sanchez pitched in the World Series before. Scherzer's been around, no doubt. Joe Girardi is our guest, Radio.com, Sports MLB Insider. You know, and the interesting part about watching Washington play as well is the whole Bryce Harper effect of just him leaving and the story, how big of a deal that was in Major League Baseball, and he stays in the division but takes the big money. You, as a player, what do you think his reaction to this is? I mean, he's doing fine because he got $200 million in the bank or whatever it was, but what do you think he's feeling watching Washington do this?
Well, he's probably wishing he was playing in the playoffs right now, right? You know, I'm sure it's a little bit frustrating for him, but you got to, you know, he needs to remind himself, I got to judge a deal over 13 years, not over 1 year. Yeah. You know, this might be the year that Washington goes to the World Series, but maybe Philly goes three times over my life span here in Philadelphia. So it can be really frustrating, but I mean, it's a guy that plays hard every day and he'll get his opportunity.
Joe, do you have a problem with guys that pimp home runs and celebrate? I feel like that's kind of been going on a little bit in this postseason and the last few seasons, where pitchers seem to be okay celebrating, but when a hitter does it, does a bat flip or whatever, it seems to be a big problem and a lot of people talk about it. Do you personally, when you were a player or even a manager, did you have a problem with it?
Well, I think there's a difference as a player and a manager. As a player, no one did it back then when I played. As a manager, I got accustomed to seeing it. And, you know, as long as I thought the hitter wasn't necessarily really showing the pitcher up, I didn't have a problem with it. If it's genuine and out of excitement, I'm okay with it. I mean, everyone has a little bit of style. And I haven't seen anything that has really bothered me during the playoffs. Now, I have not sat and watched every moment of every game. I know there was some stuff with Acuna Jr. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, so far, I mean, some people might think that Soto takes a little bit too far with some of his takes, but believe it or not, it hasn't really bothered me.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking with Joe Girardi, longtime player, longtime manager, Radio.com Sports MLB insider. And the last time that the Yankees and the Astros met in the ALCS, you were the manager of the Yankees, and that was a great series as a fan just watching it. And it was a tough ending for you guys in that one. But can you walk us behind the scene of what it was like trying to game plan for that Houston team? And that was even before Cole and Greinke and some of those guys were on board. But just that series and how tough it is to try and navigate through that Astros lineup.
Well, I think maybe the lineup has maybe gotten a little tougher. The pitching is fairly similar. I think their bullpen was a little bit deeper back in the day, but it's just a great team. And you have two great teams playing right now, and this is a pivotal game in my mind because Houston wants to do everything they can to get it back to Houston where they play so well, and they could have Verlander and Cole lined up if they're able to get it back there. So to me, this is a pivotal game. You have two heavyweights, and I think everyone expected this series, these two teams, to be in this series. A lot of people think that this might be the World Series in the
Uh-oh.
I would not count out Washington because I think they're very good.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you about that. Presuming Washington takes care of business and they finish the sweep of the Cardinals or at least get out of the series, which team do you think is a better matchup for Washington? I know that pitching staff's tough to go against, but is there one in the AL that you think would favor Washington a little more?
No, not necessarily. I think both teams are dangerous. What, one team had 107 wins, one had 103. I mean, is there a big difference? I don't think there's a big difference. When you look at which team's going to grind out at bats more, it's probably Houston. So they might get to their bullpen a little bit earlier, and their problems have been in the bullpen. They've seemed to solve it a little bit here in the playoffs. And I think Doolittle pitching well and Rainey pitching well solves it. But the last thing that Washington wants to get into is a bullpen game.
Yeah.
So, you know, it might be a little easier to face the Yankees because there's more swing and miss. But I think what the offenses are going to do are going to be similar, that amount of runs they score. It's just how long the starter stays in.
Yeah, tough places to play, both of them, too, in Houston and New York. Yeah. You know, and one other storyline that's been kind of, I guess, current throughout the course of the season has been the baseball that's been used and the home run numbers that are just off the charts this year, shattering all sorts of records during the regular season. And now we've seen it fall drastically back. And I believe it was even the Cardinals manager the other day that said, hey, our numbers are telling us that there's a different pull and it's not going as far. And the core is a little bit tighter and players have complained about it a little bit. What have you made of just that storyline throughout baseball this season and then the potential change of a baseball from the regular season to the postseason?
Yeah, it makes me wonder. I mean, I somewhat wonder because there are balls that I thought they were hit that I thought were gone and did not go. I know one thing. It was flying during the season at an alarming rate. So is it possible? Anything's possible, you know? I mean, I'm not in charge of the baseballs. So anything's possible, I guess.
Can I tell you something real personal from me to you, Joe?
Sure, yeah. Okay.
I was a kid, and I watched the New York Yankees beat my favorite team in the World Series in 1996. And I just
want... Sorry.
That's okay. Hey, that's okay. That's part of sports. It was one of my first lessons. I just want you to know that there was a 9-year-old crying while you celebrated your World Series in 96.
Well, I'm sorry. So that must mean that you're much younger. And I'm sure you cried when the Cardinals beat them again this year, because I think everyone thought that the Dodgers and Braves were possibly set up to go at it, but neither one of them made it.
I came close, but it actually was happening during the show, so I had to somehow do a radio show while watching my team get annihilated in a must-win situation. It wasn't fun.
Well, I'm glad you were able to pull yourself together.
Thank
you. It was quick and swift.
Yes.
Yes.
It wasn't one of those you were on the edge of your seat for 3.5 hours.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Your heart's broken in the 9th inning or something. Have you ever seen that before, 10 runs in a 1st inning?
Nope. not in a playoff game, so I'm not sure we'll see it again, so you won't ever have to experience that again.
Do those situations, Joe, ever put you in the – like you're watching that game, do you ever go, well, if I manage again, what you do if you're the opposing – do you say anything to your team down 10-0? Do you just clap? Do you ignore it? What do you do?
You just tell – we need to grind out at bat.
Yeah.
That's what we need to do, and let's just see what happens. You know, I mean, that's deflating. I'm not sure which was – well, I know which one was worse. If you're a Falcons fan, I know you were really crying.
Yeah, that was more painful.
Or a Georgia Bulldog fan and you lost to South Carolina.
Yeah, it's been a rough go down there in Atlanta the last couple of days. There you go. That was Radio.com Insider, MLB Insider, Joe Girardi. Insider Call is brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Joe, thank you so much, man. We really enjoyed the conversation. Keep enjoying the MLB postseason. We'll love to catch up with you again down the road.
Thanks, guys. Have a great night.
There you go. Joe Girardi of MLB, MLBInsiderRadio.com. Yeah, he made you cry as a little kid, man.
He did. He did.
And they told us we couldn't ask him about the managerial openings, and whoa, they got out of that. How about that? Yankees had two on with nobody out, and he got out of the inning. So 1-0 going into the second in New York, game three of the ALCS. But make no mistake about it, Joe Girardi will be hired as a manager in the very short-term future.
Yeah, I'd say in the next few weeks.
It's going to happen.
What team would you choose?
That's a good question. I mean, probably the Cubs would be number one, and I've heard the most noise between him and the
Cubs.
He
was a Cub.
It sounds like Joe Maddon's going to go to the Angels, and he has the long history with the Angels.
What did they say, 30 years with the organization?
He was there for a long time, long time. So it sounds like that. I mean, he's just going back to that organization where he's been.
I would think the Phillies might be the spot.
Phillies, sure. Phillies, great opening, too. Got an owner that's aggressive. You got to figure out how to match everything around that Bryce Harper deal. But The beauty of having a 13-year contract is the average salary per year isn't necessarily through the roof and, you know, handicapping you from going out and doing other things.
Well, next time we get him on, I did have one more that I wanted to ask him, but I know he was on a time thing. I want to know if he thinks these player I know this is an old topic, but if he thinks the player contracts are worth it, like the big ones, the Trouts, the Harpers. Right. I know how we feel about that.
Sure.
But I wonder if he has a differing opinion about it.
I bet he would give you the...
You want great players?
On-air answer of you're worth what somebody's willing to pay you from a player mindset. Like, whatever contract they're willing to give you, that's what you're worth.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure the frustrated former player answer would be, hell no, they're not worth that because of what I made when I played.
Yeah.
Not that guys in his day didn't make a lot of money. Guys made a lot of money in baseball, but...
But he won $300 million.
A little bit different.
Would Trout get 340, 330?
Something like that.
Well,
yeah.
He had A-Rod on a $250-some-odd million deal.
Won a World Series with him.
Yeah.
Won a World Series in 2009.
God, he was there a long time. Why would they do him dirty like that?
Long time. It was management and, you know, are you taking the orders you're supposed to be taking? Yeah. That's the concern a lot of people have nowadays with managers is that you just, they're essentially robots. Mm-hmm. Like, you're essentially hiring a robot that's going to do whatever the analytical department wants you to do. And there's a certain, like, trust your gut thing that you want to have a manager. You want them to possess that trait of just knowing their players, knowing, you know, being around the game a long time, being in the clubhouse every day. You want to ride a guy, you know, a starting pitcher a little bit longer. Like, you don't always just manage on analytics. That's a concern for a lot of old-time baseball fans of, is it going too far in that department? He was the manager the last time they played in the ALCS 2 years ago. He managed the Yankees. They lost in Game 7 to the Astros, and now that series is happening again today.
So do they fire Boone if he loses?
No, because they hired Booney as he's a bro.
He's kind of the puppet, isn't he?
He's and now a little bit of a puppet.
Yeah.
His players love him, though, too. So I'll give him that. His players love him. I think he's a smart manager as well.
I'd much rather have him as a manager than commentating again. That was like paint drying.
Yes. I agree with that.
Aaron,
stance.
What are you seeing?
I agree with that, Stan.
I think the pitcher needs to just lift his pitch up a couple degrees, and I think you get a strike there.
Yeah, and a brief answer, too, on the whole Nationals-Cardinals. Like, whew, thanks for no-showing, Cardinals. That thing, they made it 4-0 in what, the third inning, whatever it was early on. Howie Kendrick hit a 2-run double, and it's like, all right, Monday Night Football.
It made watching Monday Night Football a lot easier.
It did. There was no flip-flopping that needed to happen.
I'm not really that upset by it.
No flip-flopping at all. Okay, we're going to talk to Softy coming up at the top of the hour, so brace yourselves for that one. It is Oregon and Washington week. I did want to get into briefly, by the way, the mail sack's coming up in the final hour as well. So get your mail sack questions in 55305. We got a really good one yesterday about their kids' sports fandom that I want to ask. I thought that was a pretty funny one. So I wrote it down. Mail sack questions are welcome. I do, though, want to get into this Cowboys thing. It's like, how do you feel about one head coach proclaiming that they're going to go in and win? And then how do you feel about an owner saying that the coach that nobody likes would be a hot commodity on the open market? I want to dive into that a little bit. Crunch time next on The Fan.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that, you know, we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, where the trainers can work with anyone on how to lose weight the correct way and gain strength at the same time. I was not at the Glorious House of Gains today.
Oh, I was.
No days off! No days off!
Be there tomorrow morning. Final hour, we're going to talk to Softy coming up at the top of the hour. Get his thoughts on Oregon and Washington. I'm sure they'll be coherent. Mail sack in the final hour as well. Poll questions, whole bunch of stuff still to get to.
What are you going to do? He's going to throw you off if he gets on. He goes, guys, I got to be honest. I don't like this Washington team one bit.
He's going to go self-deprecate.
Like, what do you do at that point? You're probably like, oh, no.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not planning on yelling and screaming at Dave Softy Mahler.
Yeah, he's a radio vet. He knows that's not going to happen.
Yeah, he just, you know, hey, bring your A game. You know, I don't know. Whatever. I don't know what that meant. I don't know what to do with my hands.
Can you just lead the show, lead the interview with that? Hey, Softy, welcome on. Can you bring your A game for these next 12 minutes?
All right, later, Jobin. Okay, so all that's still to come. Let's get to this, though. So the Sunday night game this week is Philly and Dallas. I am very excited for that football game. A lot on the line. You look at the NFC East right now. What a dumpster fire.
Trash.
Wait, Philly's in first place, right? At 3-2? Are they the first place team?
3-3.
Is Philly 3-3 now?
Oh, no, they're 3-2. Yeah,
Cowboys. Yeah, they're 3-2 because they had their bye.
They had the
already.
Bye. So
yeah.
Dallas is 3-3. We know about the Giants. You know, they haven't looked great in the last couple of weeks. And then the Redskins are obviously the Redskins.
It's
right?
The second worst division in football.
It's a pretty bad division. And we thought maybe Dallas and Philly would both be good this year, but struggling early on. Well, Doug Peterson, the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, went on WIP in Philadelphia. We got a lot of friends over there. And he had this to say about their game on Sunday.
You know, because here's the thing. This is, you know, I know the sky's falling outside.
Yes.
You know, it's falling. And I get that. And the fans are reeling just a little bit. But you know, we're going down to Dallas, and our guys are going to be ready to play. And we're going to win that football game. And when we do, we're in first place in the NFC East. We control our own destiny. We're right where we need to be. Has it been perfect or beautiful or all of that? No. But all we got to do is try to be 1-0 this week. Beat the Dallas Cowboys. We're in first place. And listen, they're reeling too. I mean, they're struggling too. They've dropped their last three games. So this will be an exciting football game.
It guarantees a win in Dallas. You like the boldness of that from a head coach.
I do. You don't get it a lot. I don't need it every weekend, but like his team, they completely no-showed. I thought they were going to win that game and not only cover 3 points, but I thought they were going to win. And they went into Minnesota, and Kirk Cousins and Stephon Diggs just beat the lights out of them. And then defensively, Minnesota's defense shut down that Philly offense. They've had too many of those games for me. I think that's kind of what comes with Doug Peterson from time to time. It's kind of Andy Reid-esque. He has a random game where his team doesn't show up. They don't play well. I don't know what that is. But I'm hoping this week that they can back the word of their coach. I love when coaches are willing to do this. I think it sends a message. Enough farting around. Like, let's prepare and let's go get a W. We should have played better last weekend against the Vikings. And now you get an opportunity against a team you hate to go on the road on Sunday Night Football and get an upset.
There are times when making a bold claim and bulletin board material, if you will, can backfire on a team and on a player. And there's actually an example of that from Philadelphia. So we didn't really talk much about this last week because I don't think anybody really batted an eye when he said it. But Philly's linebacker, Zach Brown, last week, who played with Kirk Cousins in Washington, came out during the week and said Kirk Cousins is the weak point of that football team. Nobody cares. Like, he's the weak point of their offense. Nobody spends any time preparing for him. I mean, it's Kirk Cousins, right?
Yeah.
And nobody cares. And then Kirk Cousins shredded them on Sunday to the tune of 300-plus yards, 4 touchdowns. Could have been more. The only interception that he threw to, by the way, was one that went through to Stephon Diggs' hands, hit him in the face mask, ricocheted up into the air, which I'm sure Stephon Diggs blamed on Kirk Cousins. He threw it too hard for him.
Well, he should keep blaming him to get him to play well.
Right, because he's getting him angry. Well, Zach Brown said that last week. He dumped all over Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins shredded him. Yesterday, Zach Brown was released by the Philadelphia Eagles.
Also wouldn't comment in the postgame about his pre-game.
No, he kept
comments.
Getting asked about it. You know, do you want to take back what you said about Kirk Cousins? And he was like, man, can you guys ask a question that doesn't have to do with Kirk Cousins? I almost thought of the old like Chappelle skit of when keeping it real goes wrong. So Zach Brown talked some smack and gave some bulletin board material, and he's out of a job. Obviously won't happen to Doug Peterson, but I think there's always that concern when you say something like you're firing up. Like, Dallas is a good football team. I think we're overreacting to both of them. Just like I felt like we overreacted a little bit to Philly, where they struggled early on. They went into Green Bay and they got that win on Thursday night. It was a great game. But Green Bay had 2 chances inside the 5-yard line to score and they didn't capitalize. And hey, credit to Philly. They won that football game. So I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. But that easily could have gone either way. But they won that and everybody kind of said, all right, Eagles figured it out. Here we go. Extended layoff going into Minnesota and they just couldn't stop a nosebleed. Where I think, again, going back to the Green Bay game, the final score and the outcome looks different. If they just score inside the 5-yard line, that defense has a lot of issues, and Kirk Cousins capitalized on it.
I want to see if Dallas is going to be able to run the ball successfully the way they wanted to last week, and they just didn't. Zeke got 12 carries. I know part of that is being behind, and you got to play faster, but you also shouldn't panic. Like, they were down 14-3. You got a lot of football left. You're two scores away from having a lead.
Yeah.
Don't completely abandon the run. I think you can run on Philly. It's just going to be what Philly team steps up. But what I was actually going to ask you, what would your reaction be if we had Mario on and he randomly just guaranteed a win?
Guaranteed a win over Washington. Yeah. I think if it's your if it's your fandom, you love it.
Lose, though? Do you ever bring that back and go, well, our coach was an idiot. He did this and that.
It backfires. Like, imagine, look, Philly fans are crazy. We know that about Philadelphia.
I love that he said that they're reeling a little bit here. It's like, no, check the message boards,
which
bud.
Is also funny. The sky's falling. They're in first place in the division right now. So, like, just everybody take a deep breath. There's nobody that really scares you in the NFC East. You love it in the moment because it's a rivalry and you know how much the other team hates the other team. So, I think as a fan, you appreciate the red meat and it gets jacked. But you got to go cut. You got to go live up to it, right? You guarantee you win. Man, that's going to be a bad look for Doug Peterson if we come in on Monday and we're talking about Dallas winning that game 31-21 and all of a sudden they're in first place. They control their destiny. They have the head-to-head win over Philadelphia. It's a bad look. The other note from this game, too, just quickly, Jerry Jones today on 105.3 The Fan said that Jason Garrett would be a hot commodity on the open market. So they got to keep their hands on him.
This is becoming his...
they clamor for him.
This is new thing. This is like the third time he has said this in the last 3 or 4 years. When things don't go well, people question Garrett. Jerry Jones loves to go on and tell you that he's a hot commodity. No, he's not.
He called him... He said he's a top coach. He would be very sought after... That's not a very good Jerry Jones.
It's okay. I like the attempt.
Very sought after coach if he was out there on the open market.
I wouldn't even want him being the OC of my team.
No, I don't think I would. Do they hire clappers on staff? Do you have those guys, like motivators? Like, hey, let's go.
Yeah, they're called strength and conditioning coaches.
I hire him to be that guy, you know, get everybody
lift
fired
more.
Up. Did you see the team running off the field? I think after they scored to cut it to 8 or whatever it was, and they ran off the field after their touchdown, and he was reaching out for high fives, and nobody gave him a high five.
Nobody wanted to high five that guy.
Sorry, Jason. So there you go. Big stuff going on in the Philly-Dallas game as Doug Peterson guarantees a win, and Jerry Jones, he can't move on from Jason Garrett, man. He's too sought after on the open market, so you got to keep your hands on that guy when you got him. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness, where the trainers can work with anyone on how to lose weight the correct way and gain strength at the same time, locally owned and operated with 6 locations to serve you. Lots to get to in the final hour of the show. We're going to get our mail sack in. Get your questions in. 55305 is the Betty Today text line. That's coming up in the final hour. We got some poll questions to answer. We'll keep you up to date on what's going on in New York as the Astros have a 2-0 lead in the second inning over the Yankees. You got game 3 of the ALCS going on. Can the Nationals wrap up a sweep tonight against the Cardinals? We got that, but we'll start the final hour. It is Oregon-Washington week, and what better person to bring on than Dave Softy Mahler? He kicks off the final hour next right here on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.